The reading this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 2, starting to read verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of the others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to dive right in this morning and ask four questions based on verse 1 of the reading. If you have a Bible to hand, you may wish to follow. Now, these are rhetorical questions, so they are for us to think on for a moment or two. Firstly, do you have any encouragement from being united with Christ? Does your faith motivate your thoughts and actions during the week? In the ups and downs of daily living, do you take heart knowing Jesus as Lord and Saviour? Secondly, do you have any comfort from his love? Do you know that God cares for you and knows about the things that happen in your life, good and bad? Thirdly, do you have any fellowship with the Spirit? Are you blessed when you meet with other Christians to spend time in worship and fellowship as the Spirit moves? Does the Spirit speak to you through the words of the Bible? Does the Spirit challenge you over unconfessed sin and hardness of heart? And fourthly, do you have tenderness and compassion? Does God's love for you encourage you to be tender and compassionate to those in the church and those in your life? Do you have affection for them? Paul lays out these four questions before the Philippians in a series of if statements, which are followed by a then at the start of verse 2. If this is true about your faith, then this type of practical lifestyle should follow.
What's up with the iPad?
Paul is, of course, expecting a response in the affirmative to the if statements. The Philippians are encouraged from being united with Christ. They do have comfort from Christ's love. They do have fellowship with the Spirit, and they do have tenderness and compassion. So Paul continues, then, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others above yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Paul here is challenging the Philippians over their attitude. attitude towards each other. He had received reports that there are disputes amongst them. Euodia and Syntyche are mentioned by name later in the letter. Disunity was brewing, and some saw themselves as being better than others. Paul specifically mentions selfish ambition, vain conceit, and self-interest. It may well be that something of Roman culture had crept into the fellowship. This was a culture which pursued public status, personal honour above all else. Humility was seen as a weakness. You were judged on your family name, which city you came from, achievement in public life or in military life, wealth, intelligence. And as we know, that fallen human nature is the root of many of these things which puts self first. Paul is emphatic that the body of Christ has no room for such vices as these. His joy in the Philippian church, with which he had an enormous connection, would not be complete until the issue had been sorted out. And to encourage them to change their thinking and attitude towards each other, he appeals to the ultimate authority, Christ Jesus, who is the head of the church. Jesus has set the ultimate example. He tells the Philippians that their attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. If anyone in the Philippian church felt their feeling of superiority was justified, their pretenses were now to be blown away. In verses 6 to 11, Paul provides one of the most beautiful and concise summaries of the eternal character and nature of Jesus. It's not definitive in itself because other passages provide additional information. However, it gives us insight into both Jesus' divinity and humanity, especially the fact that Jesus made himself nothing. He emptied himself during his earthly ministry. This is something that theologians call the doctrine of kenosis. My understanding of these verses is as follows. Jesus, in very nature, is God. To be clear, to be God in nature is to be God. Before the incarnation, Jesus existed throughout eternity in glory, radiance, and splendor, co-eternal in majesty with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. However, Jesus did not consider equality with the Father something to be grasped. Jesus did not demand to stay in heaven to rule and judge, which is his right. He showed none of the arrogance of worldly rulers throughout history. In contrast, at his birth in Bethlehem, in accordance with the Father's will, he made nothing and emptied himself of his heavenly glory. This glory is difficult to visualize or understand, but we are given a glimpse of it at the Transfiguration, when it was briefly unveiled. For a short while, Jesus' face shone like the sun, his clothes became bright as lightning, and this was witnessed by Peter, James, and John, and they were terrified. In love, Jesus laid aside this glory, taking the very nature of a servant. In accordance with the prophecy of Isaiah, he became a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering while on earth. Philippians 2, 7 and 8 inform us that Jesus was made in human likeness, taking on the appearance of a man. To be clear, taking on human likeness means that Jesus was fully human in all aspects, other than one. He never sinned. Jesus is therefore both fully human and fully God at the same time. On earth, he went through normal human experiences, such as learning, exhaustion, and feeling hunger. However, he never shed his divine attributes. He voluntarily submitted them to the guidance of the Holy Spirit within the will of the Father. In humbling himself, Jesus not only lived as a human being, he also died as a human being. Humility and obedience marked his path to the cross, where he died for the sins of the world. The Romans saw death on a cross as being especially repugnant, a cruel death to keep brigands, zealots, and enemies in check. In amazing contrast, God uses the cross to reveal love beyond all comprehension. But death was not the end. Jesus rose from the grave and ascended into heaven. Death was swallowed up in victory, and by grace, through faith, we can now come into a relationship with the living God. And so God exalted Jesus to the highest place in heaven, where his name is above every other name. In fullness of time, when Jesus returns in glory, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, willingly or unwillingly, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this is to the glory of God the Father. And this is the attitude Paul is challenging the Philippians to follow. Not to shame them, but to encourage them to love and good works. Any sense of superiority they may have had pales into insignificance when compared to Jesus. I tried to think of an example which might illuminate what Jesus did in this program of self-sacrifice, but I couldn't think of anything. And I think it's best just to leave it at that. Nothing in our experience compares with what Paul describes in these verses. Suffice to say, I don't think we will fully comprehend the enormity of it until we pass into glory ourselves. Now we know in part, then we shall know fully, even as we are fully known by God. And of course, Paul's challenge to the Philippians to have the same attitude as Christ cascades down all the ages to all churches, including our fellowship here at St. James. The qualities of goodness which Paul describes require little explanation. They follow from a heart being changed from the inside by the work of the Holy Spirit. It excludes selfish ambition and vain conceit. There is no room for pride or competitive spirit. It includes being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Being like-minded does not necessarily impose an obligation to agree on everything. I have never known a church where that was the case. An old Jewish saying states that whenever three Jews met together in a room, there were four opinions. Now, I think our fellowship here at St. James is pretty good. But unity doesn't necessarily impose conformity of thought. But any disagreement should be in a spirit of love and respect, remembering that we have been called by God. Being one in spirit and purpose means that the direction of the church should be motivated by the example of Christ. Our thinking and actions should be directed by Jesus' loving sacrifice. As Jesus commanded, we should love each other as he has loved us. Now in the Old Testament, the Jews were commanded to love others as themselves. This was a logical and a reciprocal type of love. For Christians, though, the bar has been set much higher. We are to love as Christ loves us. This is a love of self-sacrifice. In humility, we are to consider others better than ourselves. Each of us should look not only to our own interests, but to the interests of others. Of course, we should not neglect our own interests. It's important that we do so. But we should be looking out for those who need help, spiritual, emotional, or practical. In doing so, we will please God and build up those around us. What greater joy can there be to see others grow in the Lord as we work out our salvation together, following the example set for us by our Lord and